Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and continuing to make our way through this celebration of Easter, which is a 50-day celebration of the glory and the victory and the majesty of Jesus. And it's so important for us to stay focused on that as we walk out each day in the midst of our trials and struggles of daily life, and to allow the Holy Spirit, allow the Lord, the truth of God's promises, the graces and the gifts, the privileges that you've received as someone baptized into Christ, the inheritance, the gifting, the calling, the destiny, the purpose. Wow, it's doesn't get any bigger than that. And the more we can let it lay hold of us, these fundamental truths, and we come into what St. Paul described as a renewed mind, you know, to begin to think in a fresh, new spiritual way, to see ourselves as Christ sees us, as God the Father sees us, and step into the thing that we're really made for and that we were rescued for, that Jesus saved us for, was to bring us into the relationship between the Father and the Son. There literally is nothing more important in your life or mine, nothing in this world. We have lots of responsibilities and lots of important stuff and things we have to get after each day that are part of our vocation, part of our job, family life, the rest of it. That's all very important. But the key to walking that out in freedom, in fruitfulness, in joy, is to internalize the truth about who we are and what we've received in Christ. So we talked about it yesterday, just the few simple verses the church gave us for Mass on this past Sunday. Jesus saying, you know, my sheep hear my voice. If you're baptized into Christ, you're baptized into a new life in the Holy Spirit, which means you've been given a new power and a new capacity to live a new way of life. And you're now indwelt by God. You're a temple of God. God's not out there somewhere. He's not just signaled in the things he's created for us, or he's not just in the tabernacle at church. He's in you. He's come to dwell. In fact, he didn't come mainly to dwell in the tabernacle and church, though he dwells there, body, soul, divinity, in the Eucharist. He feeds us with his own life. But he's come to indwell human beings and to inspire us, to fill us with the life of the Holy Spirit. That's what it means to know and hear him. When the Holy Spirit begins to speak, we begin to experience the promptings of the Holy Spirit, the encouragement of the Holy Spirit. We experience the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, the leading of the Holy Spirit. As we learn as Christians, this is our inheritance. And no matter where you are today, no matter how low you feel, how far away you feel, how discouraged you might feel, I mean, that's the place the enemy wants to get us and keep us, where we're constantly evaluating ourselves and we're living under some form of condemnation or rejection, that we're on the outs in some way with God, that we're not good enough. We're on that, constantly fighting that battle. Does my life have any meaning? Is it ever going to go anywhere? Am I loved by anybody? Does my life have any purpose? That's the common battle that we share, that humanity shares, living in a fallen world where the light's gone out. There's a lot of flashing and a lot of lights and glitter in the world, but the true light that enlightens every man was shut out in this world. And Jesus came to bring that light, the light of God, and that to see ourselves in relationship to that light, which is absolutely crucial. And so the hearing of his voice in its most intimate way, its most intimate communication, is literally in the core of our being, in the deep, deep center of our spirit, in the human heart. The Holy Spirit wants to speak to us, wants to encourage us, wants to have a different narrative unfold within us. And the negative narrative, the self-condemning narrative, the self-hating narrative, the self-preoccupied narrative would begin to go away, be silenced. And in its place would be the narrative of the voice of God speaking to us of his delight in us, his love for us, the joy he has when he thinks of us. I mean, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. It's love. He's patient toward us, as I've said many times in the program. He's kind, he's merciful. And so when we live with this kind of awareness, the circumstances of life take on a completely different shade. They have a different impact on us. They have a decreasing kind of, the negative stuff has a decreasing impact on us. And we're able to live in what we see modeled in the saints, which is the promises of Jesus, that he would give us his joy, a share in his joy, a share in his life, a share in his freedom. That's what we've inherited. And if we lay hold of it, as if we go after it, like Jesus said, seek it, yearn for it, long for it, fight for it. If we do our part in responding to his grace, we'll come into that reality and it'll transform our lives and we'll touch the people around us, our spouse, our family, our children, right? Our friends, neighbors, colleagues, coworkers, we'll all be affected by it. And we can live in the most difficult of circumstances knowing what Jesus said yesterday in the gospel reading, said, no one can take them, that is the sheep, out of my hand. And I'm holding them tightly, as is my Father, Jesus said, and no one will take them because I'm holding them to bring them to their destiny, a full share in the eternal life that belongs to me, a life in which they will never perish, Jesus said. So those truths are it's the kind of thing the apostles talk about constantly in the letters that they write, because they're often writing to encourage brothers and sisters. I was looking at 1 Thessalonians today. There's a passage from 2 Thessalonians I often talk about, but I haven't done it very often on this program, speaking about 1 Thessalonians, though I know I have because I see some of my notes from a previous program. But the commentary taken from the Ignatius Catholic Study Bible, the New Testament, describes the situation that the community that Paul is writing to in 1 Thessalonians. He said, Paul wrote out of a deep concern for these recent converts who were unexpectedly left alone to withstand the rising tide of persecution and the constant pressure of paganism. So he's writing to new converts, baby Christians, who are without a shepherd, like without real strong leadership, and they're facing persecution and constant pressure from the pagan culture around them. So they're in a difficult spot, like many of the communities that Paul and Peter were writing and John in the New Testament. And here's how Paul begins the letter in 1 Thessalonians. You notice what he'll do is he helps them understand who they are. He encourages them for their response to God. And then he describes for them, he kind of walks through the history of how they've come to know the Lord and their response to him and what it means for their lives now, even in the midst of this crisis. So beginning in verse 2, chapter 1, Paul says, we give thanks to God always for you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith, your labor of love, and steadfastness of hope. So Paul's immediately identifying the three theological virtues, the reality of the truth that Christ is in them, that the Holy Spirit dwells within them. How does he know that? Because he can see the fruit of it. These are theological virtues. These are infused gifts and graces from God for the believer that they received in baptism. So they're living by faith, they're laboring for love of God and neighbor, and they have confidence in their destiny. That is, they're steadfast in hope. And all of that is the steadfastness and hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ. You hear that as well quite often. Who is Jesus? He, all power and authority in heaven and earth belongs to him. He's Lord. He is Jesus, what God saves. He's the one who has come to save, and he's the one who loves us. The one who has all authority loves us. Right? He doesn't come to condemn us. He comes to bring us into the relationship between the Father and the Son. Of course, he's the Christ. He's the anointed one who comes to give us a share in the Holy Spirit. So Paul goes on, verse 4, he says, we know, brethren, beloved by God, that he has chosen you. He speaks with total conviction, and he's able to say it to them, even in a situation where the circumstances have gone bad and they're suffering. They're being persecuted. Life is really hard. It's difficult. And they're still holding on to faith, hope, and love. And Paul says, this much I know. What I know about you is that you are beloved by God. God loves you. Number one, you're his child. Number two, he's chosen you. Paul says, I know for sure God loves you and that he's chosen you. So it's good to say, I'm beloved and I'm chosen. That's who I am. I'm loved by God. I'm made for God's love. That's the fundamental truth about my life. That's the biggest thing going in my life. It's the most important thing. It will be the most important thing in my life for all eternity. And it's begun now. No one can take that away from me. Verse 5, then, Paul says, for our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. How does Paul know that you are beloved by God and chosen? Because you know the gospel. What's the gospel? The gospel is the good news about Jesus, the good news about the Father's love, the good news about the coming of the kingdom, the breaking of the powers of darkness, the world of flesh and the devil, Jesus' victory over the powers of sin and death, the good news that Jesus was raised from the dead, and now he's at the right hand of God the Father, and he calls each one of us to come now and to have our sins forgiven and to enter into relationship with him that will last forever. So Paul says, I know that you're loved by God and chosen because the gospel, this good news, came to you in word, in power, in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction. These are four signs that Paul sees. He said he knows the work of the Holy Spirit when he sees it. He knows that the gospel was not just some passing fancy, or it wasn't just some technical writing that needed to be researched and studied. It's a living word. It's a life-transforming word. And Paul saw the effects on each one of them, on their lives. Actually, he said he constantly mentions each of them. He said he always gives thanks to God for each and every one of them, those who are beloved and chosen by God. And the good news of God has come to them through word, and it came in power. Paul will say that in other places as well, that his gospel came not in fancy words, eloquent words, high-sounding words, but he said with the power of the Holy Spirit and much conviction. The Holy Spirit is the one who backs the proclamation of the good news of Jesus and the offer of salvation. And that word is empowered by the Holy Spirit coming through the speaker. The Holy Spirit's at work in the one who speaks it and the one who receives it, both, and making it possible for us to see. That's why he said it in the Holy Spirit. There's no living word and there's no power. There's no dunamis. There's no dynamite. There's no breaking forth of the kingdom in power without the gift of the Holy Spirit present, enlivening that word, making it a living word that's capable of transforming and changing human life. And it produced full conviction, full confidence. It's worthwhile just reading these few lines, friends, and saying, do I believe this about myself? Do I believe that God's grace is at work in me, giving me faith, hope, and love? How's that manifested in my life? Am I tapping into the power that's there? Do I believe that I'm beloved by God the Father and that I'm chosen? I mean, personally chosen, not just generically chosen, chosen by God. And do I know that the gospel, have you experienced what Paul's talking about here, that this good news about Jesus came to you, not just in a classroom setting, but it came in word, it came in power, it came in the Holy Spirit with full conviction. Do you have full conviction about Jesus' saving work in your life? That is part of your inheritance. And in this season, there's no better time than now to lay hold of it, friends. God bless you. Hope you can tune in tomorrow.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Peter Burak's new booklet, The Game Changer, in which he talks to us very clearly about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, especially to empower us to engage the mission of the church. That's a calling that's there for all the baptized. If you'd like this free booklet, you could call us at 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to our past episodes or subscribe to our podcast. God bless you.